Good morning. Good to see all of you today. In today's society, if you bring up the word baptism, you are assured of immediate controversy. If you've got 15 people there, you'll have 15 opinions. Frankly, I hardly ever hear it brought up anymore. Back in the spring, I was in West Tennessee running Beagles with my old friend Jim. He and I have been friends since we were young men, and we've run Beagles for a lot of years. He's produced 42 field champions, and I never have produced one, so I need to hear what he can tell me. So I go down there frequently and get him to coach me, and we've become as close as brothers through the years. Frequently when we're out there running our little dogs, we talk about spiritual matters. It's funny how that works. As we get older, we talk about spiritual things. We didn't do that when we were young men much, but now we do. Last time I was down there, he had had a conversation with somebody, a member of the church, about baptism. And he was kind of hot about it. The jaw muscles was working a little bit. You've seen that, haven't you? The veins are sticking out in his neck a little bit. So he talked about baptism a little bit. He said, "Tom, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, Jim, what I think ain't worth a quarter." I said, "I've got a lesson at home that an old preacher preached back in the 20s on baptism. And I think my dad said he copied it from a man back in the late 1800s about baptism. And what this lesson did was to say this. Let's forget all opinions, never mind what I think, never mind what you think. Let's go to the Bible and start in Matthew, because it's not mentioned at all in the Old Testament. And let's start in Matthew, and let's go through and find the scriptures that allude to baptism and see what they tell us. See if we can find out something without interjecting any of our opinions at all. Now, I want you to do that today. I want us to go through this today. When I was a lad, we were accused of overemphasizing baptism, preaching too much on baptism. I don't hear that much anymore as an old man. And matter of fact, I hear a lot of different opinions among us today. And as I said to Jim, my opinion doesn't amount to anything. Yours doesn't either. I want us to do that today, and maybe you can get something out of this. I know reading over this sermon several times, it's not original with me. I don't guess I ever had an original thought, and I sure don't need an original thought on this. I need to know what God tells me. So I want us to do this today. Feel free to speak up and interject anything you want to say as we go along. Raise your hand, and I'll try to recognize you. So let's start in Matthew. Let's find out what it can tell us. First time we run into it is in the third chapter of Matthew. We're reading about John the Baptist. And I'm going to have to read a lot because I'm not that good quoting scriptures. My dad was, but I wasn't that good. He said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan, and they were baptized in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. What have we learned so far? Not much. We learned it was done in the river Jordan, and they confessed that they were sinful. That's all we know so far. Don't make up your minds. You got no opinion in this. You never heard the word baptism. Clear so far? You don't know a thing about it. We know that much now. Later on in that same chapter, John the Baptist talks about it some more. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he that shall come after me shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." We still don't know a lot more, do we? We know water's involved. It's not apple cider. It's not buttermilk. It's water. And it has something to do with the Holy Spirit. That's all we know. Further on down in that chapter, Jesus comes to him. And I want to read that to you. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? But Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Well, that proves immersion, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Doesn't say a word about immersion, does it? So he came up out of the water. That's all you know so far. Still with me? All right. What have we learned so far? It was in the River Jordan. People that were baptized confessed their sins. Water was the element used. And after the baptism, the Savior came up out of the water. Let's go further. Later, way over in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, the Lord, before he went back to heaven, is talking to the multitude. And you know this, and you've heard it all your life. We know it as the Great Commission, but forget that for now. We're studying baptism, and you don't know what it is. He said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Well, what have we learned here? It's to be done to all nations. It's universal. And it's to be done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do we know? We know a little bit more now, don't we? We know that it is to be universal. Everybody's subject to it. And it's serious business because it's to be done in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But now we don't know anything yet about what the act is, do we? Over in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We learn now that baptism is for the remission of sins. So let's go over what we've learned so far. Done in the River Jordan, was performed on those people that were acknowledging their sins, confessing their sins. Somehow water was involved. We don't know how. Remember that. After the baptism, the Lord came up out of the water. Teaching precedes it. It is universal. And it's done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Further on in Mark, again, known as the Great Commission, but don't worry about that now because that's not what we're dealing about right now. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What do we learn from that one now to add on to a knowledge we've already gotten? Number one, faith precedes it. Salvation follows it. We still don't know what it is, but it's important, isn't it? Because he wouldn't have told us that if it wasn't important. Now, over in Luke 3:21, there's a verse, but we're not going to deal with it because it says the same thing that we've already dealt with. So let's skip over that one. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 23. Says John was baptizing in Enon near Salem because there was much water there. Ah, that proves it, doesn't it? That proves it was immersion, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Define much water. Well, if you take a teaspoon and you put a cup full beside of it, well, a cup full is much water compared to a teaspoon, isn't it? If you put a bucket full next to a teacup, that's much water, but that's not enough for immersion. So you can't say it's immersion yet, can you? We just know it's much water. How much is much? We don't know yet. We read on in the book of Acts, we read about the baptism of Saul, later Paul, Cornelius in chapter 10, Lydia, the Philippian jailer, and others, but we don't learn anything new. I do recall something that's not in this sermon. Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. But we don't learn much there. Washing away thy sins is still the same as remitting sins. So a little bit, but not much new information is gotten from that verse. But over in the book of Acts, we run into chapter 8. And Jimmy, I believe you went over that recently, and we studied that quite extensively. But if you remember, old Philip was down there, and he was preaching to the Samaritans. And he's preaching concerning the kingdom of God, and he's preaching in the name of Jesus, and they were baptized, both men and women. We've already learned that it was universal. It was to all people, every creature. So we don't learn a lot new there, but it's emphasized because if you recall, during the times of this writing, women were second or third or fourth class citizens, but he emphasizes here women were baptized too. Everybody was subject to it. And then we go on down into the later on in the eighth chapter of Acts, where Philip joined the chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch, and they were riding along. And if you recall those verses, they're quite interesting. If you recall, Philip preached to him what? What? Somebody said it. Preached to him Jesus. Doesn't say a word about preaching to him about baptism, does it? Somehow it must have been involved, though. We're not told how, because later on during the ride and during the conversation with him, he said, here's water. What doth hinder me that I would be baptized? So they went down. Listen to this verse now. This gets closer. This makes us a little bit suspicious, doesn't it, about what's going on here. We don't know yet, but we're getting closer. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Went down into the water, came up out of the water. Immersion? Not yet. Not yet. Doesn't say that, does it? Getting close. Makes you think maybe it might be, but it doesn't tell us yet, does it? Wait on. Be patient. We'll get there. Go over to Romans. Romans chapter 6, a great chapter, and we've been studying that one too. Where's Joe? There he is back there. Been teaching us this, and it's done a good, great job studying Romans on Wednesday night. He's verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, for how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now we're getting some new information, aren't we? Now we're learning something. We're buried in baptism, baptized into Christ, baptized into his death. We are buried. I think it's safe to say at this point, we pretty well know it's immersion at this point, wouldn't you say? I get that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I get that. Later on in the same chapter, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So we are subjected to a burial. We are put down under. We know what a burial is in Tennessee, don't we? You put down, buried in the ground. Now also in Tennessee, when you're buried in the ground, that's all she wrote, isn't it? I mean, you're dead. But in this spiritual burial, that's not all of it, is it? Because it says, we would walk in newness of life. We'd be raised with him. Because over in Colossians 2 and 12, it further tells us what is going on here. Colossians 2, 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. So it's not only a spiritual burial down into the water, but it's a spiritual resurrection, raised up with Christ in a newness of life. Now, not in the sermon that Brother Hardeman preached in 1923, but I wondered why he didn't add the one over in 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereinto baptism doth also now save us. And what do we learn? Let's go through them, make sure we understand them. It was done in the River Jordan. It was done with people confessing their sins. Water was the element used. It was preceded by teaching. It is preceded by repentance. It was done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The receiving of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of salvation are promised after the act of baptism. There is a going down into the water and a coming up out of the water. The act is a burial followed by a resurrection. And number 11, it saves us. Now, the reason I wanted to give this lesson, and it's a short one, it's very simple, is that I'm hearing people in the church that no longer teach baptism. Rose had a conversation. I was on the tail end of it. She and this old friend of ours, he's now gone, is an elder. And she said, "Martin, you don't believe baptism is essential." And he said, "No, I don't." And I couldn't believe I heard that. So, you know, while we may have been guilty of overemphasizing, I really don't think we were, but we got accused of it. So maybe we need to get back to teaching the basics about how we get into Christ and what saves us. I want to tell you my own story, and I've heard so many others that experience the same thing, that and you may be in that shape today too. I don't know. I don't know you well enough to know what spiritual condition you're in. My dad was a preacher, as you know. Went to church all my life. Last Sunday went to homecoming, little country church where they've had three buildings. They've been going 100 years or more. They had three buildings. My dad preached the dedication sermon all three. So it's a precious place to me. But anyway, I was 11 years old out in the yard, and two of my buddies came down on the road and said, "We're going to be baptized tonight, Tom. You want to go with us?" And I said, "Yeah, I believe we will." And sure enough, I was immersed, and so were they, Dean and Robert. And for years and years after that, I worried about it. I thought, well, did I really know what this was about? I should have. Heard Daddy preach and other people preach all my life. But really, I don't think I did. I went because I knew it was the thing to do. Talked to a lot of other people and they did the same thing. Anyway, I was fishing in the creek with a preacher buddy of mine over in Leatherwood Creek over in Stewart County. We were fishing with spinners and we got to talking. And I said, "Rex, you know, I've worried about my baptism all my life. I got doubts about it. Would you consider baptizing me? Let's just make sure about this thing." And he said, "I sure will." And he said, "I'm in the same shape would you baptize me? And I said, I sure will. We baptized each other in Leatherwood Creek. No doubt in my mind today that I've been scripturally baptized. Now, I've done a lot of horrible things since then. I've had to go forward and beg y'all to forgive me and say, I've been a fool. Will you let me start again? You've done it. Thank you. This thing is serious. You got a baptistry up here. We're in a nice, comfortable building, and that water, is there any water in there? Probably some water. Usually is. I hadn't been up there and looked, but I bet there is. It's clean. It's probably warm. It's comfortable. It's safe. Let me tell you what. This thing is so important. If it was nasty, David was telling us recently about being in India, about that nasty water, and how you'd hate to wade down in that slime and be baptized. It's that important. Clean water's nice, but if we didn't have it, it'd be all right. It's that important. I've heard my dad, I never saw this, but I've heard my dad tell about breaking ice back before baptistry. If you believe I'm not old, no, don't answer. Heard him tell about breaking ice to go out and baptize people in lakes and ponds and creeks and rivers and so forth. It is so important. I'm always telling about my buddy Bobby Plink. He just lost his Helen. But Bobby was studying with a lady, and she said, Bobby, I was baptized when I was a girl. And Bobby said this, and I've used it a lot of times. You may be, that's between you and the Lord. And if you're right, that's fine. I won't argue with you. But you want to be sure about this, because this is important. And I'd tell you the same thing today. I don't know anything that's more important than this. I'm afraid I've seen us de-emphasize it a little bit in the church since I've got to be an old man. I don't think we did it intentionally. I just think that we reacted to the world accusing us of emphasizing it too strongly. But it is important. You know your own hearts. I don't know your hearts. If you've been scripturally baptized and you're okay, that is fine. Good for you. God bless you. You may be like me. You may have had doubts about it, or you never have put on Christ in the first place. So I want to tell you now, this may be one of the most important things, maybe the most important things you'll ever do. Consider that while we stand up. Jerry, lead us in a song.